Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to another episode of Best Show Bests, the greatest hits of the best show, with me, your host, Tom Sharpling. If you like what you hear, make sure you join us every Tuesday night on Twitch at 6 p.m. Pacific for a brand new episode of the Best Show featuring callers, celebrity guests, live music, and plenty of surprises. Enjoy!
Ahoy.
Okay. Welcome to the first episode of Ahoy, which is the fish sandwich review podcast series that I've been promising for a couple years. My name is Tom Sharpling, and I'm here. My co-host for Ahoy is my friend Harry Walliner. How are you tonight, Harry?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tom?
I'm good. Are you ready to get into it?
Yeah, I've been eagerly awaiting the day.
Well, this is exciting. I'm so glad you said you would be you were interested in being on the show with me.
Yeah. Sorry if I forced your hand.
You did not force my hand. No, it helped me a lot to have you say you would be involved in the show. So we are in the car.
Yeah.
We are driving to McDonald's. We will start Ahoy with the fish sandwich that kind of...
It's the standard bearer.
It is the standard bearer, exactly. It's the one most people know. It's the one if people...
It's one of the few that's all year round, I think, right?
It is also one of the only ones that's all year round. Yeah. A lot of them are on menus for Easter. It's a Catholic thing.
Yeah.
To eat fish on Fridays before, like during Lent.
Of course, yeah.
Before
giving up
Easter.
Meat, red meat.
Yes. That apparently you'll go to hell if you eat. But so certain fast food chains only offer fish sandwiches during that window for a month and a half or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think it's the 4 weeks. But McDonald's is year round. It's the famous one. It's the one I know the best, and I enjoy it.
You made it famous on every show you're on, pretty much.
I talk about it a lot. What is your opinion of fish sandwiches?
So,
overall, because you like cooking, are a fan of food.
It's gonna sound crazy, but I don't think I've ever eaten a fast food fish sandwich before.
Really?
I think psychologically, my brain, as I was like growing up, was like, fast food is already sort of on the lower end of foods I should be eating. Mm-hmm. I think adding fish into the mix, which it always feels like something that needs to be eaten pretty fresh. It is always, just subconsciously, I think my brain is like, you should maybe avoid, if you're going to eat fast food, just eat chicken, because it's like semi-reliable.
Sure. No, I understand that.
And even fish, that's failed me.
No, fish can turn very quickly, but you realize fresh is not even remotely a component when it comes to these fish sandwiches.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
These were frozen.
Yeah.
And they are thrown into a fryer.
Yeah.
And then you eat them. Two minutes after they get out of the fryer.
But yeah, it's like a curiosity I've always had.
Sure. Do you like fried fish?
Yeah.
Though?
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. I love a good like beer battered like fish and chips type deal. I definitely want to delve into that in my own cooking. People always ask me if I'm like what's your favorite thing to cook? And I'm like, I never have one thing to cook. Mm-hmm. It's always kind of like I just like trying new things. I will experiment with a variety of things. So I think frying fish and making my own fish sandwich at home is kind of the one of the next goals.
Okay. To do some home frying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's important to have goals in life.
You know, got so, lofty goals.
Yeah.
Frying fish.
No, I think it's fun that you take such an interest in preparing food, because it's something I definitely don't have experience in. I just never got into cooking. Never. It's definitely a blind spot for me. Mm-hmm. I can make a meal. This is real. That's a truck drove by. Now we're pulling into the McDonald's.
Yeah,
we're gonna go to the drive-thru. Okay, a little bit of a line at the drive-thru, but that's fine. I got good company. I can get somebody to talk to.
Oh yeah.
I just never got into making food, and it really is a blind spot. And sometimes I am bizarrely impressed when people can make food and they're just like, no, that was an easy thing I made.
Yeah.
But I'm still just like, to me, that was not easy. I can do certain things if it's like a meal.
Yeah.
Like if it's like a purple carrot kind of thing.
Okay.
I can.
Like a roasted vegetable.
Yeah, but just like the things where they give you all the elements and then it's like, oh, this will take a half hour to prepare, and it serves two, and I can do those.
Yeah. We do a lot of Blue Apron stuff.
Sure, that's the thing. Purple carrot's similar to Blue Apron.
Okay, when you said purple carrot, I thought you actually meant like using purple carrots. So that's why I was a little thrown, but now I get what you mean.
No, and this is also the first podcast in history where we mentioned a food preparation service that is not sponsoring the show.
Yeah.
It had to happen one of these days.
Yeah.
So if you were at McDonald's, which we're now in the drive-thru, it's a two-lane drive-thru, and it's raining out.
Yeah.
As it's been doing a lot in Los Angeles now. It's a lot of rain. If you were at McDonald's, you would order what?
That's like a spicy, crispy chicken sandwich.
Okay.
That's kind of my go-to, like, pretty much at any fast food spot. Like, my favorite is, like, Wendy's, like a spicy chicken, like the Asiago Ranch, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that, or, like, if it's, like, a late night where I've already eaten, like, a dinner, I'll usually just go for, like, nuggets and an order of fries.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But I know, obviously, you don't eat meat, so.
Yeah, no, just how often do you eat fast food?
I mean, sometimes it'll be like once or twice a week, depending on how busy I am, but I try to limit it. Like, we did a whole month while everyone else was doing dry January. Our dry January, my wife and I were was avoiding fast food for the month, which was,
it's nice. That's
It was definitely good for like my whole, like, my body. I felt a little better, not because we literally live like two blocks from a McDonald's, and it's very tempting with like the app to just like order. Like the cheapest thing for $3 and then walk over there.
Sure. Or you can have it delivered and it will be $45 for two hamburgers.
I really, lately I've tried to avoid all delivery apps unless it's like they have like a supreme discount where it's like, oh, 50% off, up to $20 off. And I'm like, okay, great, I'll do that because it'll make it feel like I didn't just spend $30 on a delivery fee or whatever.
Sure.
The service fees that they don't quite tell you what they do.
No, it is really pretty blurry.
Yeah.
And the other thing is McDonald's messes those orders up every other time.
Yeah.
It is wrong. And I eat McDonald's. Once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Like, I'll just get a fish sandwich. And usually it's because of, like you said, it's convenience.
Yeah.
And you're just in such a rush. I have to eat something.
Yeah, this is not like a real, like, city for, like, late night food or anything.
No, it really isn't. It is not a very accommodating city for stuff like that.
Yeah, because we were just back in New York for a week visiting friends and family, and, like, I was just like, it was 10 o'clock at night, and I went to like a halal cart, and I'm like, I would take this over any fast food any day of the week.
Sure.
Or like a pizza place was open till 11:30.
To just have some true options
with
things that could be a little, food could be a little better than just straight up fast food.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that. That's, look at these drinks. Fanta, blue raspberry, wild cherry.
The Shamrock Shake is just fascinating to me. It's
very good.
People like, I don't like mint in anything. Mm-hmm. I don't like mint chip ice cream.
Okay.
It's an off, it feels like I'm brushing my teeth with something I should be enjoying.
Or you could just think of it's the world's greatest tasting toothpaste you've ever had.
Yeah, there you go.
That's how you're supposed to.
Yeah.
What is this lunatic doing? Now they're backing up. What are we doing? Oh, they're trying to get closer to the speaker.
Yeah.
No speaker awareness when you land, when you pull.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to keep going back. You're going to hit me. What if I just gunned it right into them?
I think people over the last 3 years have lost all sense of spatial awareness.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think people, there's a recalibration that is going on for everybody.
Yeah.
So what do you want to drink?
I'll just have like a water.
Water?
Yeah, just, it's too late for caffeine for me.
Okay. So you just want a fish sandwich?
Actually, you know, I'll get a Sprite.
You get a Sprite. Yeah. Okay.
Fries? Soda?
Oh, hi. Can I get a number 6 meal, medium with a Diet Coke? And then can I get a number 6 meal
with a Sprite?
Medium with a Sprite, and then a large fries also, please. And that's it. Thank you. I'm sure everybody thought I was going to do some kind of comedy routine.
Yeah.
You hot dogs? No, I'm not going to mess with this guy. He's got my food. I'm not going to start joking around.
Yeah.
This guy's got my food and I can't see it right now. not exactly a time to crack everybody up.
Yeah.
So what we will judge the, we were talking about this beforehand.
Yeah.
We will just go kind of element by element through it. And what should we do? Should we do one out of like 1 to 10? Should we do like that?
I feel like since this one's the standard bear, I feel like you almost have to give this one like fives across the board.
It's the standard bearer in terms of the marketplace.
Okay, yeah.
But you might think it's disgusting, and you should be allowed to say like I would give that a 2 out of 5. You know,
okay.
Let's do 5 stars. We'll do out of a series.
We'll
we could do halves also. Yeah, and we'll rate like the bun.
Yeah.
The fish. The tartar sauce, all the stuff.
And then, we can also sort of just like an extra category of just like, what did they add that isn't on all of them? And like, does it actually make the sandwich better? I feel like that's something we could talk about.
Yeah, I like that.
Because like, this is one of the few that has cheese on it, I think, right?
It does have a slice of cheese.
Yeah, which I'm curious about because I never really, you never really think a lot of, like I don't like tuna melts because like hot cheese on cold tuna just, it doesn't sit right with my stomach.
Okay.
Or my brain, but I don't know.
All right.
I know people.
No, I've checked out on tuna melts throughout my life, but then I get drawn back at some point. The other thing we should probably take a picture of what we got because photo will look one way.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say about the filet of fish at McDonald's, not a priority. The aesthetic part of it is not a priority.
Yeah.
It's usually at an angle.
Yeah.
The bun is half on the sandwich. Sometimes there's a little bit of tartar sauce. Sometimes it's drowning in tartar sauce.
Okay.
So there's some variables with the filet of fish that I don't think there are with other items on the menu.
Okay.
I think they're pretty you know, boilerplate when they do a quarter pounder.
Yeah.
It's not slid halfway across the bun. Like,
yeah.
The filet of fish is.
Yeah.
Has some artistic interpretation in the mix. Yeah. This is exciting.
How I want to ask, how long have you been sort of pescatarian, vegetarian?
It's been a long time,
yeah,
Harry. I stopped eating red meat.
Mm-hmm.
Harry, it's coming up on 30 years.
Oh, wow.
I stopped when I saw the movie Babe.
Oh, okay. I get it.
I was just like, I can't. Yeah. I like these animals too much.
Yeah.
And I hate fish. Like, if I see, like, Finding Nemo, like, I hate everybody in this. No, because I just saw it. Gladly eat you.
Yeah.
No, it just really brought something out in me, and it really kind of stuck.
Okay.
So I never thought that would be where I ended up, and the thing is, I like, oh my God, I loved chicken. I haven't had chicken or any kind of red meat in that amount of time.
Wow.
I loved chicken and hamburgers, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice that finally the fake stuff has caught up enough to where it's like Impossible Burger, Beyond Burger. I also like a very kind of like not processed burger, but I like when they're just made out of vegetables and there's like peas and things like that. I like those too.
Like
but
they use like the beet for color type thing.
Yeah, like that. I'm good with that. But the it is nice to when you want to truly feel like you're eating what everybody else is eating. Like the way Impossible Meat is now. It definitely is as close. Like Burger King has an Impossible Whopper.
Oh yeah,
that is. It also just kind of reveals that so much of what you're tasting is like the ketchup and the mayonnaise and the things like that that are on a Whopper more so than the meat.
Okay, yeah.
I find.
Yeah, I was at the movies a while back and then they have the Impossible Nuggets.
Okay.
And I think, at a certain point, like, it's harder to tell that it's chicken because, I mean, the chicken's ground up anyway, but also just like, you know, they add enough stuff. The breading tastes like what they would bread it with, and then, you know, you can get like buffalo sauce or ranch on the side, and you're like, at that point, it's like, do I really need to be eating chicken if this just tastes just as good?
No, that's exactly it. But the other thing is, the other side of the coin with that is just like, this processed stuff is not good for you.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You can eat garbage and just happen to not eat meat.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of like junk food vegetarians or junk food vegans who they just eat bad stuff that just happens to not be made of meat.
Okay.
But it's like the whole point should be to just eat like vegetables that aren't fried and
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Yeah, so we're getting closer. Busy night at McDonald's.
Yes, clearly, surprisingly.
People want their McDonald's tonight. Yeah.
I guess it's the season for things.
I think these rainy people just want comfort when it's raining like this.
Yeah.
So I know you said you like to mix it up and you don't have like a go-to thing for what you prepare. But what is one of your what's something that you can reliably make when you're in the kitchen?
I mean, I'm trying to think like things that I like to make. I mean, obviously this is going to go away from the fish of it all, but I like grinding my own meat for burgers.
Okay.
Like, I have, like, Jason and Becky, my brother and his wife, got me a meat grinder attachment for my KitchenAid for, like, Christmas 2 years ago. Okay. So, yeah, I'll just, like, I'll go to, like, there's literally, we have this massive Mexican supermarket across the street called El Super, and they just have, like, the craziest sort of meat counter of just, like, because they don't waste any part of the animal. Like, they literally are selling you everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll buy, like, I'll, like, look up, like, what the best mix of cuts are, because you want to make sure you have fat and flavor.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure.
And then, yeah, I'll just, like, I'll make it as, like, I'll do all the prep, and I'll grind it, and then I have, like, a big, like, one of those griddle pans that goes on top of a stovetop that okay. kind of sits on top of the burners.
Uh-huh.
So it has the room where you can sort of flatten out, like, a smashed burger patty.
Okay.
And I've done that for, like, turkey meat, too, but, like, yeah. And then I've also been getting more into making pasta from scratch.
Okay. And how elaborate is that?
It's not, like, it's just, it takes some time because you're, like, you have to, like, properly measure out the flour, and then you're putting it in, like, a little, like, making a well and adding all the eggs properly and sort of whisk, like, gradually adding in the flour to the eggs.
A lot of steps is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's more labor intensive, but the final product is amazing. Like,
no, it must be just so satisfying also.
Yeah, we went, Olivia and I, my wife, we went to Italy for our honeymoon in June. Or, sorry, May of last year. And we went to a pasta making class in Bologna, Italy. And just to, like, make it right there in this, like, this older woman's, like, home in her, like, little den with her, like, family watching TV in the other room, but make the most, like, incredible pasta. I was just, like, inspired. Because once you get the basic ideas, it's very, like, easy to sort of suss out. Because it's not, like, the math of it is, like, yeah, it's good to have, like, a kitchen scale so you're measuring the flour by weight.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's basically one large egg per 100 grams of flour.
Okay. And it must just be satisfying also to make food that other people are eating.
Yeah.
Like, to feed people with what you...
Oh, 100%.
Through your talent.
Yeah, like, I'll, like, have friends over and we'll do, like, a night where, like... I mean, even something as simple as, like, we did a grilled cheese night for Valentine's Day, and just to, like, not, like, spend, like, $150 going to a restaurant.
Sure. No, that's nice.
And just, like, making something simple was was just really...
No, that's nice. I guess you lost my number that night, but that's okay.
Well, it was a small gathering, but I'm...
Oh, no, small. I guess I didn't make the cut. That's fine.
I would love to have you and Julia over sometime.
That's fine. Yeah, if I don't make the cut, I'll make the cut. There's two fillet of fish.
Yeah,
that's going
to take 20 to 40. Okay.
Excuse me.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom. I'm always so confused by McDonald's because sometimes that second window is open. And you pay there and then come to this one. And then sometimes it's just coming to this one. And one time I accidentally missed that one.
Did you have the filet fish in your order?
Yeah, the two fish sandwich, two fish number sixes.
There's a two filet fish in there, a large fry, and let me get you a medium guy cook and a medium fry.
Thanks.
Right? What kind of sauce would you guys like?
Sauce? What do you mean for the...
Barbecue chicken.
Oh, I don't know.
Can I get a buffalo?
Do you buffalo?
Buffalo?
Yeah, the buffalo would be great.
Just for the fries.
Yeah, it's perfect. Thanks. Have a good night.
Yeah, I'll just use that for the fries. I'm obviously not gonna compromise the fillet of fish.
No, you can't do that. All right, let's see where we're gonna park here. Ooh, full house. Full house. Let's go. Let's go in the bank parking lot.
Such an oddly busy McDonald's.
Yeah, it's weird. This is a new McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
This one. People in this area are very excited.
Yeah.
They have never tasted McDonald's until now. Finally, they have one.
Yeah.
As opposed to the one a half mile from here.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're really new ones, considering how many are just, like, struggling or closing.
Yeah.
I feel like they've hit that peak where people don't go as often.
Yeah. It's a nice brand new McDonald's. The people like it.
So maybe these will be nice and fresh fillets of fish.
Yeah.
Fresh with quotes and a an asterisk next to it.
Yeah, a lot of qualifiers going up on this one. Yeah, this is going to be exciting. We'll park in a minute, and then we will try the first sandwich that we will rate on Ahoy, the fish sandwich podcast, the only podcast reviewing fish sandwiches.
excuse me.
I hope.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's other... I know other people have done, like, lists of... Here's the best fish sandwich, and here's this. Well, we're doing our version of it.
Yeah. What was I going to say? On the topic of fish, that's sort of the focus of things that you eat. Are there any specific sort of seafood or fish that you don't like to eat that you try to avoid?
Huh. That's a interesting question. You know, really, like if it's like in a restaurant, like a really oily fish, I'm sometimes not a fan of.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I like salmon. Well, salmon has, you know, salmon's not overly oily though. It's just kind of rich in protein. Look, I don't know what I'm talking about to tell you the truth, but I do know when it's like, you know, just like. What fish did I not love? I did not love mahi-mahi.
Okay, yeah. That's definitely
a... Yeah, but...
Particular.
I like swordfish. I like salmon. Just a bunch of... I like shrimp.
Yeah.
I know that's not technically fish, but...
Yeah, seafood in the realm.
Yeah. All right, let's see what we got here.
Here's your fries.
Here's the fries.
I gave him the other one.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Thank you.
Those are yours.
Okay. Thank you.
Fish sandwich.
All right. So we got fries, fish sandwich. We got our sodies. We're eating it the way you eat this stuff in a car.
There's some extra fries in the bag if you want any more.
Those are always the best fries.
Yeah.
They're like the bonus fries.
I'll wait to open it.
All right, so let's open it up. Let's see what we got here.
Okay.
That's a well. That is a respectably designed sandwich. It's balanced. Yours is maybe a hair off balance. The bun. Well, mine is. Yeah. Mine's tilting a little bit away.
They put the cheese on the bottom bun. That's so specific, yeah.
Well, the cheese is on the bottom, tartar sauce on top.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
So.
I'm curious to see how this tastes.
Oh, well, here we go.
Oh, yeah. A nice reminder of just how good their fries are. Their fries are really tough to beat. I mean, I love a Wendy's fry, but still.
Mm-hmm. All right, Harry's getting ready.
Here we go. Wow, this looks wild.
Taking the leap.
Oh. Okay. I get the hype.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite as crispy as I would expect, but I mean...
What are your initial reactions to this?
It doesn't taste like a whole lot of anything. It just it sort of just tastes like the texture. It tastes like, I mean, it's like a whitefish, so obviously it's not going to be like a pungent flavor, but like
no, it's a very kind of innocuous thing, and I think the tartar sauce carries a lot of and the cheese carries a lot of the flavor.
But I mean, I had such a negative stigma against it, but it's not bad. Like this is something that I could easily see myself getting again.
Mm-hmm.
Like be like, oh yeah, I'm not really feeling chicken or a burger tonight. Like, why not?
Yeah. So the bun is to me, one of the highlights of the McDonald's fillet of fish. It's soft. It's a steamed bun.
Okay. Yeah.
Have another bite.
The tartar sauce, I'm so used to like other tartar sauce that like it tastes enough away from it that I don't dislike it. Because I'm not usually a fan of tartar sauce, but this tastes sort of like its own thing.
Yeah, it's a very simple sandwich in a lot of ways.
No.
It's a very basic piece of fish. Like you said, it's fried, it's not overly crispy. It's not huge.
Yeah.
Tartar sauce is kind of tangy. The cheese is solid. And the bun is great.
Yeah.
I say fish, 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Cheese, 3.5. Tartar sauce, 4. Bun, 5.
Okay. I think I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, I don't really have anywhere to... Yeah, I think it just...
Mm-hmm.
I think the other components help elevate it as a whole. I feel like if the bun was off, it would bring out the sort of not as good sort of... It would make it feel less of what it is has become.
Sure.
But I think because McDonald's is such, like... well-known buns that I think it's sort of just like it helps make it that sort of popular fish sandwich.
Okay. So what are you scared of in life?
I'm trying to think. I feel like...
Not like monsters.
Yeah, of course.
Like real life.
I feel like I'm scared of like me being the cause for like something horribly wrong to go in someone else's life. You know?
Okay.
Like I do something that I'm not that I don't think about, but like it doesn't seem like it's a big of a deal and then it winds up like... hurting someone in a way that's like irreversible.
You mean like you'd make a decision and the consequence of that decision would hurt somebody, or are you afraid of being selfish, or
like
what? Where's that come from?
Because sort of like,
I have very similar fears to that.
I think it's like saying something to someone, thinking it's pretty innocuous, but then in their head they take it to a degree where like it just like it like either makes them. Like want to like turn into a person they don't like that you weren't expecting them to be, or like, you know, they like some, or they harm themselves in some way. Like I think it's just terrifying to think of like that I could have ever been the cause of like someone just like hurting themselves either mentally or physically or
like causing pain.
Yeah.
For you. Do you feel like you're a, Do you feel like you're somebody who tries to just solve problems and tries to bring calm and you want everything, like I've known you a long time at this point, and you're not a dramatic person. You don't seek drama or chaos. It seems like you're a very kind of, you want people to feel good and you work toward like trying to take pain away from people.
Yeah, I think
is that fair to say?
I think in a lot of cases. Yeah, and like there are times where like there are certain people where I think about this so much constantly that I think I'm like I have to like walk on eggshells, cuz I'm like I need to make sure I'm saying the right thing, or I'll say something and then I'll immediately in my brain overanalyze that thing I just said 100 times before the next time I open my mouth.
Sure.
Because I'm just like, oh, did I say this thing? Like, is this like, they move their eye a certain way. Like, does this mean like they hate me? Like,
sure, sure. Like, and you're trying to read the signs.
Yeah.
Now, do you feel like you are too sensitive to that stuff? Because I know I, at certain parts in my life, I've definitely been, it's almost like if you look for a problem, you're eventually going to find one. If you look hard enough, you'll find a reason that somebody's mad at you or unhappy in a situation. And some of that comes from, in my experience, that just like, if you keep poking somebody going like, you're not mad at me, right?
Yeah.
You're not mad at me, right? You keep asking, at some point they go, you know, I'm actually getting a little mad at you because you're not listening to me. I'm telling you I'm not mad.
Yeah.
That's something I've struggled with 100%. In my life is my neuroses with not wanting to upset people or not wanting to, like, just very much like what you were saying, not wanting to hurt people, not wanting to upset people.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of you end up doing the thing you're scared of. It's like your worst nightmare. The thing you're actively trying to not do, you end up doing through trying to be like, oh, too nice.
Yeah.
And too, are you okay? Are you sure? Are you sure? You're sure? You're sure? And then just like, yeah, that's something I've had to learn in therapy is to just sometimes you just need, like, if somebody's talking, all they want you to do is just hear them.
Yeah.
They don't want you to solve their problems.
Yeah.
And you can, and it's completely valid to say to somebody, it's just like, do you want me to just lend you, you just want somebody to talk to? I will give you my attention and my time. If you just want to get something off your chest and just say something that you just want another person to hear, or are you looking for a solution to something?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that was like, I think just being mindful of that stuff. I mean, it was much, much more for me in like high school. I was always constantly like, oh, or like, are you mad at me? Like, that's how I was. And then college, I sort of learned better, like, social skills, just being around people that got to know me first. Because, like, high school, a lot, I mean, in no way, shape, or form a blame thing. It is just the circumstances is that my dad worked at the school that I went to. My two older brothers were 7 and 9 years older. Mm-hmm. So they had been through the school system. All the teachers knew them. All the teachers knew my dad. So I came in as related to these people. But once I went to college, it was like a new slate of like getting to know other people and sort of mm-hmm. learning to adapt and sort of being out of my comfort zone. And I think that helped me. And then obviously moving out to LA on a sort of, not a whim, but I had, you know, I was working on a show in New York and then I moved out to here and I was like, this is going to be 6 months. And now literally May will be 10 years.
Amazing.
It's wild. But yeah, like that, like it's been a constant struggle of just trying to make sure that I'm not doing that thing where I'm constantly asking, like I'll ask once and then sort of try to gauge off how someone responds mm-hmm. and then I'll basically just try to leave it alone because I mean in my brain I'll constantly be thinking about it, but it's like I learned that there's just some times where I don't need to say everything I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's a learning thing to realize you don't have to tell everybody everything that's in your head at every given moment.
Yeah.
It's not saying you want to withhold or you want to be, you know, lying through a mission or anything like that. But it is just kind of like sometimes you just don't need to burden people with all of your stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody's carrying stuff. Mm-hmm. And everybody could just as easily say to you, well, look, I have 10 things going on in my head too, but I'm only telling you what I feel like I need to tell you or you can help me with. It's just like, it's hard to, especially with like your partner to learn that balance. Cause you don't want to burn them out with all of your stuff. And that's another thing I've learned. It's just like, it's not that you want to deny stuff or not be honest with them, but it's just like, you want to you want to be, you just don't want to be a series of problems.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's like when you get too caught up in your own head and your own problems, then you become, you can become in a bad version of it to your partner or who, or to your friends or whatever. You're just a series of problems.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's hard to want to be around that energy.
Yeah, I had to realize that I think around like October or November this past year, I was kind of just like in a spiral of just like feeling very distant from people and like going to like spend time with my family or spend time with friends and just being like constantly in my own head and not being able to be in the moment. And there was one moment in particular, I don't need to get into the exact details,
yeah,
of
yeah,
it,
you're
but
right.
Like I had like a, it was like a breaking point, and I was like, I see a therapist. I you know, I don't get to do it like every week, and I don't think it would serve me to do it every week. So I try to do it every like few weeks, but I had gotten to a point where I was like, I can't even go see a therapist right now. I just can't be like in conversation with anyone. But then I saw her, and then she helped me realize that I was depressed, and I finally talked to a psychiatrist and got on like a form of Zoloft. And mm-hmm. There's always a stigma of like medication, but also like I know people who are on medication. I had never taken anything regularly outside of like emergency asthma inhalers, so this is mm-hmm. like a new thing for me, and I've been taking that for the last 4.5 months, and like mm-hmm. it's almost like part of the anxiety. Like, I'm not saying I'm anxiety free, that would be almost turning my entire like persona, my personality off, but what I'm like, it has made me so much more present and so much less like, there will be times where I'm at like a party and like my heart is literally beating out of my chest trying to have a conversation with someone.
Like, you have social anxiety?
Yeah, myself. And like I can pretty much stave it off where I'm talking to people, but in my head I'm constantly just like mm-hmm. everything is going wrong in my brain. But like for an example, like when I went to your birthday a few weeks mm-hmm. back, which thank you again,
yeah.
it was the yeah, blast. Like, to be able to just like be around people and talking and like having conversations and just feeling so comfortable, and then like, you know, doing karaoke songs is just like, like usually I, like when I do karaoke, I need to have like a drink or two in me to like loosen up. And I was pretty, I had like one drink the whole night.
Sure.
And just to be able to feel that sort of like that calm in my mind where I'm just like, people are here and having fun. I should be able to do the same.
Yeah, that's, look, I can just say I have been on and off, you know, I've gone to therapy most of my life. Mm-hmm. I started just even when I was like 12, I started talking to somebody, even earlier than that, because I guess I was exhibiting signs of something. And then, you know, I clearly went down a very dark road through my teenage years, which I, you know, I kind of talked about for the first time for anybody in my book. I never told anybody that stuff. And that was like seriously scary stuff. And they put me on a lot of medication at that point, to the degree where the doctors were like, you're on so much stuff. Like, if you don't do other things, you're going to have liver failure and kidney failure, because the strength of that medication was so much.
Yeah.
So that's why they went the route with, you know, with other treatments, with the ECT, which is still one of the most scarring things that's happened to me, but it was necessary because it did work, and I'm alive now, and I'm an adult now. And but I've had definite fear of medication. I've been off it a lot as an adult, just because I'm hesitant. But then, very similar thing to what you're saying, I just was like, I just got to take care of something here, because it's. You know, it was starting to feel like there was no floor for me with things. I could go down.
Yeah.
And then I got on some, I got some meds. And now it just at least feels like there's a floor. Like, if I get down, it doesn't feel like who knows where the bottom is.
Okay.
I feel like it's stuck. It's just like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm low right now, but I'm not in free fall.
Yeah.
And yeah, I get that same social anxiety, Harry. I get the same stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm in the wrong headspace in a group of people, I am crawling out of my skin.
Yeah.
And it's hard. And it's hard to not want to just get, like, self-medicate in mm-hmm. some way to just get through it. But it's just like, the medication certainly helps kind of, like, shave off the edges of the stuff in terms of like the worst parts aren't happening, but I can cope with the rest of it. And you know, you go through therapy enough and you get tools and then you can you learn how to navigate certain things. So the bun is five. You'd say five with the bun?
Yeah, the bun. I mean, the bun is honestly, yeah, I think it's one of the best parts. I'm not, the rest of it isn't bad, but it stands out because it is basically the first thing that hits your mouth.
Yeah, and it's really soft and so I would say the McDonald's filet fish is not perfect. I would give it a 4 out of 5 for me because it's very reliable. I like it. And I say McDonald's filet fish sandwich 4 out of 5.
Okay.
And what are you?
I think for me, so I can sort of have room to sort of go either way. I think I'll give it a 3.5.
Okay.
Just so that there's that room that like the other, if there's anything else that's like just comes out of the way is spectacular.
Absolutely. No, that makes
sense.
I want
to make sure there's that little leeway.
Yeah, no, you don't want to rank it something too high, especially when you're not as familiar with the fish sandwich as I am.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And then we'll, on the next episode of Ahoy, we'll figure out, what should we do next? Burger King?
Yeah, I mean, that's another sort of like, we can sort of go down the list of the major chains.
Okay, we'll do McDonald's number one, we'll do Burger King next.
Okay, great.
Okay, well, thanks everybody for listening to Ahoy, and we'll be back with another episode real soon. Bye.
See ya.
The Best Show is produced in partnership with the Forever Dog Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Tom Sharpling and features John Worster, Michael Lisk, Jason Gore, and Pat Byrne. The show is produced and written by Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Michael Lisk, Brett Davis, John Worster, and Tom Sharpling. The Best Show is executive produced by Tom Sharpling, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Co-executive produced by Jason Gore and Pat Byrne, segment producer Michael Lisk. The show is engineered and mastered by Andrew Gleason and Wesley Knapp. Graphic design, video editing, and social media by Brett Davis. Website and technical support by Martine Sellis. And the show is recorded at Forever Dog Studios in Los Angeles. Support The Best Show on Patreon over at patreon.com/thebestshow. And follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Best Show for Life. That's Best Show number 4, Life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.